have a way to file things. When Dorma goes down to write in the morning, she's got to have a file document number. Well, somebody really blew it, didn't they? They saw somebody's name on it and decided it was okay. It would be in the paper anyway. No, it wouldn't. Never. We know that they read every word of the paper. I don't see how, in fact, they can read every word of contact paper and not find some truth. So I guess we give up. Let's hear the other one. Because a few days later, Horton does this one. Now, he's no part of this case. Neither is George Green.
What this is George Green and his attorney trying to join in on the ongoing attempt by Abbott to sue the Institute, which that isn't even valid yet either, but Green and Horton are trying to join in on something that they have no business in. But
well, let me give you a little bit of a clue about that one. Abbott filed something, and he still doesn't have an answer. The judge has been since day one saying, "Mr. Abbott, give me a complaint. You don't have a complaint here, and you keep bringing in John Schroeper, and then Eleanor. I'm taking both of them out." And you will note he still uses Eleanor. So no matter what you've got there, it is the 16th of imbecilic filings. And this one, you see, if you heard, he filed something. And because Ellie did want to do a reasonably good job, and Jean felt that maybe just get an extension while we get through these other depositions and things might be a good idea. So, without practicing law or anything, on that suggestion, at the very last minute, Brad went in and said, "Your Honor, can we have another 30 days? We want to do an adequate response to this." Now, Abbott took that opportunity to he didn't answer at all. He didn't need to answer unless he objected to that request. So he took this that you just heard, opportunity to answer. Now, the interesting thing is that in all of the to-do about this, the time had already lapsed. The 30 days is up this week. So what the hell are you talking about? But he writes saying, "I have no objection." Now, he's the only one involved. He is the only one involved. Now comes Mr. Horton, and listen very carefully to what he is saying.
Okay, this is filed in the 9th Judicial District Court of the State of Nevada in and for the County of Douglas. Joinder by George Green in request for receivership contained in second amended complaint. Opposition to defendant's motion for extension of time and request for...
Guess what? Did you hear that? Opposition and motion for this extension.
How can they oppose something that doesn't even address them?
Interesting.
Interesting. Motion for extension of time and request for expedited hearing on application for receivership. Comes now George Green by counsel and joins in the request for receivership contained in the second amended complaint on file herein, opposes defendant's motion for a 30-day extension of time.
Out of the blue. I mean, why don't anyone in here, why don't you write and oppose or agree? Just write, you know.
And requests expedited hearing on application for receivership.
Expedite. Now, not only have I butted in, but I want an expedited shortening of time and all of these things. Let's get on with it.
Number one, defendants have yet to answer the several complaints herein, and the case is not yet at issue. This delay is prejudicial to the interests of both the plaintiffs in this action and to other investors whose assets have been squandered by defendants' machinations, in which investors have no other effective remedy than receivership of the defendants to locate hidden assets and reclaim what is left of their property. Two, the 30-day delay is sought not for the purposes required by Rule 12 NRCP to be made before answering, but rather for the declared purpose of delaying a responsive pleading. Such delay prevents discovery from proceeding and the recovery of evidence before it is lost or destroyed. Three, no prejudice is shown to defendants if they were to timely file their long-awaited...
Let me tell you, they are struggling. They are terrified. that $350,000 in gold coins is going to somehow take its rightful course of action. That's what this is about. But get on with it.
No prejudice is shown to defendants if they were to timely file their long-awaited responsive pleading and thereby permit discovery to commence to locate the records that have been deliberately dispersed in order to avoid the records falling into the hands of the FBI, the SEC, the postal authorities, and other agencies who have legal responsibility to stop the bilking of innocent chelas by the defendant corporations and their principals, Doris and Eddie Joe Ecker. See sworn testimony of defendant's treasurer, Exhibit A, attached. 4. In support of this opposition, George Green adopts by reference the following documents as if set forth herein at length. A. Points and authorities in opposition to motion for temporary restraining order and preliminary injunction and motion for relief served April 13, 1993. In this court's case number 29507, Department 1, and served herein on December 5, 1995. So now he's talking about another case which has absolutely nothing to do with this, which he's referring to and trying to pull it in and make it have some kind of relevance on this case.
Yes.
How do they do that?
Good question. B.
John, go back to sleep.
B. Motion and points and authorities in support of motion for the appointment of a receiver and for other relief. Filed June 28, 1993, case number 29507, Department 1, and served herein or on December 5, 1995. C. Counterclaimants reply to plaintiff's opposition to motion for the appointment of a receiver and for other relief. Filed in case number 29507, Department number 1, on July 16, 1993, and served herein on December 5, 1995. Number 5. These documents and other papers on file herein show the following. A. Defendants are engaged in a Ponzi scheme whereby the funds of new investors are used to cover up the defalcations in dissipating the earlier investors' money. B. The MO is as follows. Subset 1. The investor is induced to part with his money on the ground that it will be secured by demand promissory notes that are secured with specific quantities of gold that are purportedly purchased with the investor's money. 2. Defendants Ecker, DBA, Phoenix, and or Carson Capital, and or numerous other corporate shells controlled by the Eckers proceed to borrow up to 90% of the value of the precious metals they claim to have that secures their demand promissory notes. 3. This money is spent on various unprofitable schemes, such as a bomb shelter.
Thank you for laughing.
For one of the Eckers relatives, $200,000 in lawyer's fees in vexatious litigation, trying to acquire a $170,000 house for $10,000 from the Resolution Trust Corporation. Well, that's a different twist, trying to buy it for $10,000 from the RTC.
Oh, no, it's not different. Mr. Green told Mr. Williams, I gave them that information. He has already taken credit for that.
Oh.
Everybody wondered where in the world Jason Brent and got the number 10,000. It didn't fit with anything at all. So Mr. Green supplied that information.
Oh, this is a real dilly here. $14,000 per week lost in publishing a large house organ to keep the Chilas deceived as to the actual state of their investments. Over $150,000 spent on the present litigation and its offshoots. Vacation trips and motor homes for Chilas or the Eckers. Which trips and motor homes produce no positive cash flow.
I missed that one.
Further evidencing the
fact. So did the Eckers, and yeah. Boy is Dorma ticked off.
Everybody missed those vacations and trips, I think. Further evidencing the Ponzi nature of the defendant's operations. 4. When interest and storage charges on the precious metals that have been borrowed on produce a margin call, this bill is then sent to the investors whose assets were squandered by the Eckers who borrowed and spent the money raised from the precious metals. See Exhibit B, page 3, letter from Ruth Sherry Yount, holder of over $2 million in demand promissory notes from Phoenix Ecker. 6. For the sworn admission that there are no profitable ventures being funded out of the defendant's operation, see testimony of Nora Boyles, a purported co-director with the Eckers, April 14th, 1993. 7. For an example of the type of litigation the Eckers have financed using other people's money, see the attached instructions to Mr. Ellie from Hatton, a.k.a. Doris Ecker, a.k.a. Dharma, scribe to Hatton, Jesus Christ, God, and other occupants of the spaceship Phoenix, which is here to rescue the remnant, presumably made up of only faithful Chilas who have turned over their money to the Eckers when the apocalypse known as Earth Project Transition occurs.
And don't you know they're not going to be on my ship.
Which instructions, Exhibit D, include a plan to resume publication of the work that Phoenix Ecker Hatton pirated from Walter Russell and the University of Science and Philosophy, which material they were enjoined from publishing by Federal Judge Coyle. Boy, we've really gotten far afield here, haven't we? These extraterrestrial instructions also include an admonition that the funds are running out so that even the interest payments can't be met on the funds borrowed from investors. However, you lawyers, Exhibit D, page 2, paragraph 3, are mandated to get help in starting more suits. Quoting, why don't you guys get those other suits on the fire? Quoting from Exhibit D, paragraph 3. The legal people are directed to get every case started. Amendments can be made if necessary, and by the time we get there to needing insight, Brad will be up to speed, and if he can't handle the load, we can find him his own choice of help. Thus, the strategy of the Eckers Hatton Phoenix operation is again demonstrated to be, number one, obtain money by issuing demand promissory notes, two, sue, using the investor's own money, anyone such as Fort, Perry, or Schropfer who demands payments of their note. Eight, therefore, now leading the Baratree Brigade under command of Hatton, a.k.a. Doris Ecker, see Judge Coyle's comment at footnote one of his order, Exhibit E. Is Mr. Bradley Paul Ellie Esquire, who is addressed as follows by the Commander-in-Chief of the Intergalactic Spaceship Fleet, quoting, lawyers George Abbott, who represents holders of demand promissory notes who are trying to collect, is the perfect example and picture of all the bad and despicable things that have destroyed the judicial system, and he stands proud of his accomplishments. Yep. Well, Brad, I believe you can be secure enough in your own stand to take on this bastard child of evil intent. Taken from Exhibit D, page 4. Number 9. Mr. Ellie is the most recent, number 8, of a long line of attorneys
line.
Who may...
Isn't it interesting that once they get on a roll, there's no truth at all? Absolutely none. Go on.
Mr. Ellie is the most recent, or number 8, of a long line of attorneys who may have realized that their acceptance of payment for legal fees is a violation of Rule 11, because the money is other people's money obtained by a Ponzi format, where money is obtained from investors by the issuance of demand promissory notes. The money is spent through the mechanism of borrowing on the assets that are supposed to secure repayment of the notes, and the interest payments on earlier investments made up from new money coming in. As these realizations have sunk in, and perhaps as their ample retainers are used up, Mr. Elliott now appears in a long line of successive barristers who have gone on, except for Mr. Elliott, to other things. Number 10. Mr. Elliott should not be permitted to use the offices of this court to respond to the instructions from the Intergalactic Spaceship Command to turn up the fire and get the Baratree campaign started. 11. Department 1 of this court, in case number 29507, has found that Phoenix, Ecker, etc. are swindlers, and therefore are not entitled to relief in a court of equity. This finding was not appealed and is therefore final. Number 12. Mr. Ellie should not be permitted to delay for months on end the discovery in this suit that will stop the swindling and will recover such assets as may yet be locatable in this extended multi-million dollar con game. 13. An additional reason for not permitting further delay in bringing this case to issue is the admission in papers filed with the Nevada Supreme Court that Phoenix Ecker have obtained from David Overton on his deathbed an assignment of gold coins that Department 1 of this court directed not to be turned over to Phoenix Ecker.
Of course, Mr. Overton was in the courtroom in control of his faculties and had already assigned that. He testified. They just seem to overlook that, you know, his poor, fragile self on his deathbed.
Kind of forgot about that part.
Yeah, they forgot about a lot of things.
Such delivery would prejudice the rights of creditors in this receivership action to any proceeds that Phoenix may ultimately be found to own, and not to mention attorney's fees.
Certainly not.
14. The delay in getting this case to issue and obtaining a receivership encourages Phoenix Ecker to continue their efforts to remove from the jurisdiction of this court the gold coins that are the subject of this court's action, number 29507 in Department 1. Such removal would preclude the rights of others, including those claiming ownership of the coins as well as those having unsatisfied claims.
Repeat that. claiming ownership of the coins.
Yeah. Such removal would preclude the rights of others, including those claiming ownership of the coins, as well as those having unsatisfied claims against Phoenix
Lawyers.
Ecker, from having effective recourse against the coins. Mm-hmm. Phoenix Ecker have admitted being broke and unable to pay even current interest payments on their demand promissory notes. See Exhibit D, page 1, last paragraph, line 5. And they have further admitted that their losses in publishing their cult house organ are running as much as $14,000 per week. I'd like to see where that came from. Under these circumstances, the delay of bringing this case to issue will cause the asset represented by the gold coins to disappear, just as some $5 million of other people's money has already disappeared in the hands of Phoenix Ecker. See Exhibit G. Wherefore, George Green requests that the motion to delay filing an answer to the Second Amended Complaint be denied, and that this court set for early hearing the part of the Second Amended Complaint dealing with an application for receiver of Defendant Nevada Corporation's Phoenix Institute for Research and Education, Incorporated, and Carson Capital Corporation, dated this 28th day of May 1996. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, never ends. Yesterday and the day before, it was all used again. Here is this little lady who has joined in the conspiracy, whether she knows it or not, her writing's all over everything with these three witnesses and so forth. And Mr. Ellie's just trying to get some information, your name and where do you live. And this took another 20 to 25 minutes while Mr. Horn objected. If I have to bring her to court, I will see to it that she's there, but you will not have her address. You see, they had already not gone to Bakersfield, had to meet in a motel part way, because she wouldn't, you know, Mr. Horn had added up the miles, said it was too far. Well, after a while, quit fighting. Go. Not going to give the address. I have a right to know where she lives. It had something to do with here. She's given me a Carpinteria address. She's given me, you know, these sorts of things. I will get any information to her. You can't do that, Mr. Horn. Yes, I can, because I am afraid that these people will harass her, and it's dangerous for her. And Mr. Ellie said, oh, come now. What in the world are you talking about? Oh, it's dangerous. I mean, right in the courtroom, two of their agents followed me into the hall pretending to be journalists and interviewed me. They claimed they were with a paper, but it's a cult paper. And he's getting all this on the record all the while, you see. It's ugly. Did you expect it to be pretty? Because all of you who expected it to be pretty and light and wonderful had better relook at Earth Planet. And are you strong enough to do it? Yes, indeed you are. Yes, indeed. Or you would have drifted away. The enemy will keep being sent in. And these are your testings as well. Will you win them all? Who knows? But you're certainly not going to win them if you quit. And from time to time, you know, you get so tired. At least Dorma does, you know. I just don't need this. I don't need to write. I don't want this. I don't care what they do. And how are we ever going to get to the rest of our journey if we have to just get in this mire? Well, we have to get through the mire. And I think you can look at the news and know I've not misled you people. In Texas, it has been a total destruction of the grain from drought and then flood. I mean, wash it away, whatever was there. Total. That means high prices. And you've got mad cow disease that they're just trying to get, you know, overseas to you. They're after the New World Order cemented tied up in a bundle, a fasci bundle, I might add, and it's over. When you stop pretending to yourself that it isn't over, then we can start creating the way to recover. Everything in your world as you thought it to be is not that way. From your judicial system to your nation to your world, it is not the way it appears to be. When did the destruction begin? Well, I would suppose on day one of Earth. So where do you fit? They're telling us now that the Cassiopeians, you know, are here. The Pleiadians are here. And so Mr. Cassiopeia. We are the Cassiopeians. Well, don't they have a label? Everyone is very pleased that Barbara Marciniak's going to be at the Global Sciences Conference because she brings with her the Pleiadians. And then there are the Orions. Come off it, people. Quit playing your silly games. You claim to believe in God, do you? I wonder. Because you have put your limitations on God. You built God in your image. And so help me, man, if he comes off in your image, I don't want any part of him either. Now get that one out of context. But they don't want me in that courtroom. They don't want me in that courtroom. And they're prepared if I show up in the courtroom. So what are we going to do?
Well, we could put them all in jail with their own law, Commander, if you'd just show up.
They'd get us out of there first, but...
Fisher and Gold hold hands with all of them so they touch you, you know.
It'll be a touchy-feely session, won't it? I may breathe on them.
Uh-oh. Give them a kiss.
Oh, well, none of the things I have are transportable by air, you know. It's sort of like AIDS and plague and bubonic and pneumonic and all of these plagues. Which, by the way, through the mosquito or just the dengue plague is just hopping your border. Coming up from the south to you. And it's not like anything they've dealt with yet. And its host and carrier is the mosquito. We're going to keep doing what we can. That doesn't mean you're not going to be tired. Now, on the good news side, you see, I don't consider this bad news. But I do know that it makes it very hard for you ones because it is confusing. And when you've got 10 attorneys doing all of this mishmash of garbage, it's taking up the time of the one that you have. But we have some old friends, too. Maybe it is time to consider getting Mr. Horn back again. At least... he represented you once. He knew. He was there. He was at the Reconstruction hearing because the tapes had disappeared. And that is one of the most remarkable written orders that were never produced to anybody save George Green. Isn't that interesting? George Green quoted from those orders of Jason Brandt months and months and months ago. Eckers never saw this. Horn back told Gene Dixon he never saw that order. And right there in black and white, Judge Jason Brandt has said, ripped off, planned to rip off Santa Barbara by their own words. And Mr. Green has quoted that and quoted that and quoted that, and everybody wondered what in the world he was talking about. And there it is, along with a whole plethora of other things that had nothing to do with what really happened that day, and at least 15 of you were in that room to hear it. And this man has made it impossible for these people to function in this town. He has written about them in the paper. He has called the man a Semitic in the Bakersfield, California. And you've got to use it. You people have got to use what you've got. And that means that all of you are going to have to get in there and dig it out, get it in order, and then the attorney doesn't have an excuse. There is nothing in those files that the Eckers care if you see. Nothing. There are some things in privacy that should be protected, because Mr. Ecker was ordered to bring some papers, and he personally provided the documents with a cover letter to the judge and quietly handed it to the judge, because the judge had ordered it, with the request this be kept in camera. It was so confidential and so business-oriented. The judge stopped everything, made copies for everybody. And before he got out of the courtroom, it was on its way. Copies of one of the most important documents dealing with investment rarities, Makata, and gold transactions and storage. That's what is right now being talked about. It needs to come out, and you ones need to know about it, because we're going to be a family here. We're not any cult. We're not any little circle. We have some creative industry to be laid forth here. And I don't care if my enemies or my friends like it or not. I expect some backup help, and I'm making this voice appeal to the evil adversary, whoever he is. I want this done. I've dinked with you long enough. I have dinked with you guys long enough. Get it done. Make it so. You've got all the documentation you need. You've got the contract signed. Get it done. And I am specifically at this moment speaking to George Bush and his twigs. They can get it done. And it will behoove him greatly to do that. It will save his ass. I offered to do that once before, some of you will remember. So don't worry about what George Green may think about DORMA's little entities. George Bush and Ronald Reagan know me. And that's enough. That is enough. I mean what I say. And they can dink around with this stuff, and they can refuse to follow through on it or to allow it to happen, and I will guarantee their fall. I will guarantee their fall. And the only thing I have to do to guarantee that is just get out of the way, because they are in the gun sights. It's going to be a bad war, people. Some bad political blunders are being made as we speak. It's going to be a bad war. And I personally have no intention of being in their wars. Not even the Patriots. So if you have to carry a gun and you think you're going to shoot somebody, do it outside the city limits of this place. Because I will not even deflect the bullet. Know it. You are not going to suck me or mine into evil behavior. And remember, evil is only a measure of pulling another away from their journey to God. Evil ain't no big deal. Sin is simply an error in judgment. A mistake, if you will. So if you're going to be offended, if you're called evil, then that's your problem. And I would say that these people in Nevada are evil. They certainly are interfering They are interfering with getting some things done. I abhor the thought, but Mr. David Horton is still listed on the back of Mrs. Meeves' Wisconsin report as being the constitutional attorney. God, never mind your constitution if that's what it's about. I don't want me or mine to have to participate in any kind of a national governmental system that is so foul. We're not fighting it. We will support anyone in the newspaper that wishes to send us articles, and we have space to write them, because Contact is a journal. It is a newspaper for everyone to get a hearing. And that's the way it's going to remain. And meanwhile, we have things to do. And it is not destructive to either side. It is very constructive. And it'll make anybody who works with us look good. But there are going to be some entities around that are going to start looking pretty bad pretty quick. I need a copy of the letter from US&P to Dr. Young.
I have one here.
And I want him to read it. And let's see, what else do we have? Then I want, please, if someone's in this room will not be embarrassed, I want to share some of Sananda. And I'm not going to even name names, just make sure that those writings get to, let us say, EJ. Nobody will look, just hide your heads. Everybody close your eyes while those transfers get taken care of if they have to be. We're getting help. Does everybody hear me? We're getting help. You're beginning to trust these messages coming through to you. And when that happens, we'll move right along. So I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Young. He's got some other things, but I want to share this.
You want me to deal with it, okay?
Please. I'm through. We're going to go to sweet rolls in a minute.
Before I read the letter from US&P, I forgot to share with everybody a nice note that we received actually on April 29th from Eustace Mullins. And it's not the note that's so important as the last sentence coming from Eustace Mullins, but it's a note to Brent. Brent's in touch with Eustace. It's always good to have personal contact from out there one-on-one, and he will frequently correspond with Brent. And after he sends his many thanks for copies of Contact, we always send him copies when he shares an article with us, because he needs them for distribution. He says, I enclose what may be my most important article, the expose of the Cold War hoax. That's the one we ran a week or so ago. I am doing a sequel, Zionism and the Cold War, which I will send on in a week or so. Then here's a nice statement, which is what I really wanted to share, and this is really on behalf of all of those who contribute to Contact, whether it's folding and stapling newspapers, getting them out the door, or writing articles, or choosing cartoons, or whatever. He says, and this is from Eustace Mullins, who's well connected, "Keep up the great work. Everyone tells me that Contact is the only paper to read now." Coming from Eustace, that's a compliment I wanted to share with everybody here who helps. Now, I did get a reply from a letter I sent to US&P's president, remember, weeks ago when I asked for permission to run his fine statement on, well, we could call it the brotherhood of man, but these days with the way Earth Shan is looking, I don't see a whole lot of brotherhood, but what he says is, "Dear Dr. Young, thank you for your letter of April 24. I called for the facts of your case," meaning the case against with US&P and various agents here. "Thank you for the letter of April 24. I called for the facts of your case and learned that the matter is still before the law courts. I am very sorry for this, for the Russell message is meant to bring peace happiness and unity to all men everywhere and not conflict. May it be settled within or outside the courts at its earliest possible time. Sincerely, Melford Aquila. I don't quite know what to deduce from that letter other than an acknowledgement that he's heard from the other side or maybe Tim Binder and those who educated him on the case, and yet his gut instinct is that there's a artificial conflict going on here. Well, I think that's what he's trying to say.
That's exactly what he's trying to say, and I would appreciate it if you would take the responsibility in responding to him with this. And there are documents now back over in hard copy from South Africa. And please, copy those affidavits. Put a cover letter with it. You'll be guided. You'll know what to say. And get it off to him. It concerns things that happened in South Africa with Dr. Binder. And it also wraps up very tidily Tom Astley's work. And it was done mostly before there was any writing on our part of any kind regarding Russell. And he needs to know that.
Okay.
And for all of you who would want to share, Mark Forbes and Forbes' son does this kind of bronzing. He's a sculptor. And Anne and Mark sent those two little meerkats. They're Africa's favorite little toy creatures. And they wanted to share that. And so they sent it to Dorma. And the only way we have to share is just to bring it down here and let you look at it. Someday we'll have maybe a central office where we can keep these lovely things that one share.
Okay. We have a recent writing from Zoltek. And it is, I titled it, for the paper, Professor Zoltek on Earthquakes and the Problem of Missing Time. This begins, Commander Ceres Antonius Zoltek, present in the light of Holy God of all magnificent creation. As I write through this translator and scribe, we of my command are very busy monitoring the geophysical activities of Earthshan. At this time, you are experiencing a greatly stepped-up level of earthquake activity worldwide, and where appropriate, also stepped up volcanic action along all of the major fault lines dividing your various tectonic plates. As a matter of most serious observation, we frequently call to your attention the actions around the Pacific plate because, especially as concerns the stability of your west coast of America, this is the gear driving the machinery which shall precipitate impending great change for the United States. Before proceeding with a discussion of the current situation, I would like to refer back to a writing of mine through Dharma from June 15th of 1991, just to remind you for how long it has been that our lessons have been offered and mostly forgotten or ignored. Quoting, as Hatton told you in the past days, pay attention, for there is massive movement in the entire circumference lip of the Ring of Fire, the Sea of Peace Ocean. I believe it is the Pacific Plate Tectonic, as you refer to it. Please note that Australia is not within those boundaries, but is the most impacted by movement of the Pacific Plate. There is tremendous activity in the outreach portions of Australia and New Zealand. Georgia, that is the Soviet Union's Georgia, is a different matter and is in established upheaval to cause the Soviet Union to remain united. For as the Russian Republic becomes republicanized, so will the other bloc nations again rise up, and Georgia is one which is already at a level of unacceptable restlessness. It is, of course, far more than that, but it is a most dangerous game played when you tamper with Mother Nature. You people of Earthshan are either the most daring or the most foolish beings we have come upon in a very long time of traveling. The primitive people of the Philippines are terrified, just as are the natives of Australia and New Zealand. For they know the underground is ready to uncreate those islands or project up the entire ocean floor, which is going to cause happenings like you can only hold in your imaginings. The atmospheric havoc is proof of that activity. It is the location of Mount Pinatubo that is most distressing to the Indians of the region, for it is a part of the predictions, the clues of changes which would come upon the people and the world, which of course to them is the Philippines and little more. The eruption could have been from Taal, Canyon, Mayon, and it should not have been the same meaning. It would not have had the same meaning as one which is dormant for centuries, as is Pinatubo. Now please look to Japan and the earthquakes and rumblings. This is not unusual for Japan, but you might well be seeing eruptions of those volcanoes in Japan also, within hours or days. Whether or not you hear of it, there will be great numbers of tremblers in the Aleutians and right down through your chain of volcanoes in the North American continent and through the entire circle to the south. Earthman can precipitate earthquakes, but he cannot control the activities very well of volcanoes. He can detonate high-level nuclear explosions within the craters or from underground placement. But to cause activity in the mountain itself, there has to be a hole opened into the pressure caverns. This is why eruptions mean far more to geologists of the observers in my geologic survey teams than does all the earthquakes you can produce. End of quoting of that part. I have also chosen to example this particular writing from almost 5 years ago because of the teaching theme running through it, that all is connected to all, that you cannot separate the earthquake or volcanic activity from the other shenanigans orchestrated by your would-be kings of darkness. So let us continue with this lesson. We resume quoting. As you study the upheaval in Georgia, USSR, note its political proximity to both Turkey and Iran, the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, and remember the trouble in Azerbaijan and Armenia, both bordering to the south and to the southeast. You ones must begin to look at the whole and stop using the telescope attached to the kaleidoscope, which simply blinds you through visions of colored glass.